Today's program is brought to you by Q Drinks, carbonated mixers made for your cocktail. Visit their website at qdrinks.com. That's Q, the letter, drinks.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues that send. It's gonna get you some.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
Hey, Souther. How you doing, buddy?
Jesus. I'm full of cheese. How about you?
Oh, man. Well, you're always full of cheese.
That's not true.
Yeah, that was fun last night.
Yeah.
So, dude, how was your Christmas?
Christmas was great.
Do you have a tradition where you spend it with your granddad and,
and a turkey. Turkey? That's Thanksgiving.
Okay.
A bottle of old granddad and a bottle of wild turkey. No, I, as usual, I think for Christmas I got what I deserved rather than what I wanted, which is fine. No, Max and I, we opened the bar and we had a bitter Jewish Christmas at Amore Margo. Max brought gelt and dreidels and he was gambling on the bar and I made General Tso's chicken for everybody who walked in the door.
Amazing.
Yeah, super fun.
Cool. That's great.
And as promised last week, I made eggnog and I have it here with me right now.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to drink some of that during the show today.
Cool.
But first, let's talk to our guest. Laura Maniac is here from Cork Buzz, and she's got all kinds of news to tell us about her Christmas.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
You're no stranger to Heritage. You've been on several of the other shows, correct?
I love it here. It's nice. So fun.
You get to hang out in the cozy studio.
Watch people eat pizza and drink champagne.
It sounds amazing. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right, man, we're threading the needle. We're between Christmas and New Year's. New Year's is probably a huge time for you. Right.
It is. It's a great time, too. We have a couple of restaurants and wine bars, so we're gearing up for tons of champagne sales and fun parties.
Yeah. Nice.
And hangovers. For me, at least.
Brace for the hangover.
Yeah. What is your, do you guys have any kind of, New Year's Day, regimen as far as, bouncing back?
I mean, I grew up in the Deep South, so, of course, New Year's Day is a food day for us. That means I'm going to make cornbread, collard greens, and Hoppin' John. Do you know what those things
are?
Yeah,
black eyed peas.
The black eyed peas, yeah. So the cornbread is for health, the greens are for green money, and the Hoppin' John is the little black eyed peas. It's for all your friends.
Oh, nice.
Right. It's friendship.
So I never knew that's what that...
Yeah, that's what the New Year is supposed to bring for you. New and old friends... Money and health.
I always had black eyed peas at New Year's, but I just thought it was a superstitious Bible Belt thing.
It's also just a gut settling. I just drank a shit ton of whatever was handed to me last night.
Right.
Thing.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I try and make it at Amore every year. This year it'll be on a Sunday, so it shouldn't be any big problem. I'm going to make Hoppin' John for anybody who wants to come by.
I'll come by.
Please do.
I need friends, health, and good luck, and money.
Yeah, all that.
Sounds good to me.
Cool.
So, Cork Buzz is crushing it. You're crushing it. Everybody probably already knows the big thing about you. You were the youngest ever Court of the Master Sommelier?
I don't know. It's not true. And it keeps getting repeated. So I think people it up. Yeah. I was one of the youngest females when I passed my Master Sommelier exam, but not, the youngest ever, or the youngest at the moment. Okay. And so, yeah. So it's still a great accomplishment. I was 29 and running BR guest restaurants and studying my ass off. And so it was really fun. But no, not the youngest ever.
Okay.
But it's not your fault, because I think that's been printed a million times, no matter how many times I tell them to correct it.
It's the internet. They don't correct anything.
True.
So what? Doesn't matter. It's still an amazing accomplishment. And, yeah, you ran the BR Guest program. I worked there while you did that. Mm-hmm. Did you know that, Damon? We crossed over.
Yeah. You were saying something about that last night.
Oh, was I?
Yeah.
BR Guest was...
I was drunk on cheese.
That was a lot of cheese.
BR Guest in those days was so... freaking cool and hard work and tons of craziness. met a lot of good people like yourself, so that was fun part.
Yeah, I met a ton of cool people there, and I still keep in touch with a solid handful of them. Even, do you remember Vince Favela? He was on the show just a few weeks ago. And now he's running the
Alamo
program at the new Alamo Draft House.
Ah, that's right.
With Vanessa B. Pretty cool. Yeah, so you've got us something.
Have you been there yet, by the way?
I have not, no. You know, I don't go to movies.
Oh, no, it's not. I have not seen a movie there yet.
But you've been there.
It's
you're awesome.
There's a wax museum. It's
there's a wax museum.
Yeah, man. Remember they were talking about the secret museum. It's like it's crazy. There's a lot of just go. There's some weird shit in there.
We'll find time to go. but you've got a glass of something already poured for us here, and we're already sipping on it. Let's talk about this real fast, and then let's talk about all the things you do at your various spots.
Sounds good to me. Well, I don't think I'd be Laura if I didn't bring champagne anywhere I go.
That's why I invited you. I was like, I want her here the last show before New Year's, and New Year's is all about champagne, so here we go.
Champagne's our thing. So champagne campaign we do every night after 10, half off all bottles of champagne.
Yes, I tell people about this all the time, and their jaw drops every time.
Yeah. And you don't have to ask for it. So it's not like, oh, can I get my discount? You know, it's just like the bottles come, and they're half off. So that's really fun. But this particular bottle is, it's all Pinot Meunier, so it's a grape, as you probably know, but I worked Harvest in 2010 in Champagne, and this was the grape that the house that I worked for was mostly known for. They did some Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, but this is, it's Francois Huet. He is 2010 pure Pinot Noir, or Pinot Meunier, I meant to say, and it's just so delicious. It's called Elements, and I felt like 2010 was the year I worked Harvest. I love Pinot Meunier. It's not the same producers that was called La Hert, but why not try something new? This is a relatively new producer to me. It's from Becky Wasserman, who I think is just a great importer. And it's pretty tasty right now.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
It's really great.
Yeah. It's the first thing I've had today.
Yeah. I love the fact that it's 100% Pinot Meunier. It's cool. Yeah. This is like... It's got all the classic elements.
It's
like bready, yeasty, you know, like it's fucking delicious.
So good.
But it's got like a really nice kind of like oxidative sherry kind of quality to it, too.
Sure, I get that.
You know, like it almost has like a little bit of like a Amontillado kind of vibe.
Absolutely.
In the background.
Yeah, it's that perfect style. I like that richer, slightly oxidative style without being oxidized.
Yeah.
And so you said it perfectly. That's why I picked it, because it has that nutty...
Nailed it.
Amontillado.
Nailed it. Still got it.
Yeah.
cool. But this is one of the things that you're kind of the most known for, is sort of stripping away the kind of, stiff pomp and circumstance of the whole wine education world, right?
I hope so. I mean, I'd like to think so. So thanks for saying that.
That's definitely what you're known for. How do you do that? I know you do a lot of classes over at, mm-hmm. at the shops.
Yep.
And you lead many of them, and your team leads many of them. But
totally.
Like, how do you, because I teach classes at Amore Margo too, mm-hmm. but I'm teaching classes about something they've just never fucking even heard of.
Right.
Right. Most of the folks come into mind, they're like, I don't even know what tomorrow is. People come in with a preconceived notion of wine. They come in with a preconceived notion of like all of that. And how do you like bare bones it and make it more accessible and fun?
I think it starts with just like the way you look, the way you talk, the way you act. So it's like, I usually don't wear a suit at work. I mean, I never wear a suit, thank God. But, you know, you're just wearing jeans and flats and you're simple, like easygoing person, and make wine approachable, pour people things if they haven't tried them. I mean, our restaurant is really a wine focused, I don't know, country club, if you will, bar. You know, we do lots of dinner parties, lots of classes and events. And then the bar is just like, you know, pop a squat at the bar, and you're like, I never heard of Honda Robbie Zuri. So we're like, all right, here you go. Now you have. And, you know, it's a little bit more just of a conversation. So I like to say, like, you just have a conversation about wine. It's not really intimidating. But if you're forced to learn or be, you know, really just talked at, that's just not going to work. So that's my approach. It's really simple.
Do you find that you get a lot of people that come there, like kind of, I guess, civilians, like, coming in? Or do you see it as a lot of, like, industry people, or is it a mix of both?
I love the question, and I think it's so important. You know, it used to be, in the beginning, as all new places are, like, brand new industry hangout. It's just nonstop. You see all of your friends, and then they open their own places, and then they're not around, or they're working late, or there's a... great new bar that they want to support. And I'm all about, you know, the industry, but I don't think we've ever made our name only on that. We are certainly a consumer driven place. And, you know, because it's such a big open space that's flexible, we have a lot of events, and we just do a lot of corporate entertaining and a lot of, you know, bridal shower, bachelorette, but, you know, it's not in a cheesy way. I mean, it's like all of that really important, milestone birthdays, because where can you go and have a 32-person birthday party? Right. You know, it's so much more flexible than, you know, a restaurant with twos and fours. So I'm pretty proud of that. That's one of my favorite things to do, is to host a party.
Yeah. I mean, well, especially, I mean, I know for our listeners out there that don't live in this city, you know, we've talked about this a couple times before on the show. It's like New York City's, it's easy to find an event space, but it's hard to find a cool one, mm-hmm. like that actually has quality stuff, you know?
Yeah, with Seoul.
I mean, like, I worked with the Frankie's group, and, like, that backyard of Frankie's is, like, the shit, and it gets booked out all the time because it's beautiful and has they have good food and good wine, you know?
Totally.
The first time, I will say this, the first two times that I went to your spot was... The first time was Maxwell Britton from Maison Premier turned me onto it, and it was about the champagne campaign. Yeah. And so,
brilliant.
Yeah, we had some champagne there. And the second time was actually for it was actually a birthday party. It was like a 40-person birthday, and both times were excellent. And so that then all of a sudden that was like a pin on my map. Ever since then, you know.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun too. And like you were saying before, the fact that you have like a very, it's not like. Thing I like about it is it's not like this hoity-toity wine bar kind of experience. It is like very like jeans, like you said, jeans and flats, you know, and everyone's really enthusiastic about it. And I think that's what makes any place like the casual, like outgoing kind of vibe, you know. That's why I like to do it at my bar.
I mean, if you can demystify something for someone,
yeah,
that's
absolutely
without hammering them in the head with like, you have to know this or you look like a fool when you drink wine, like that's. Or whatever, or Amaro, or eat steak. I don't know, whatever. I think that's what we do.
Like a fool when I eat steak. It's like, I just give it up. Man, it's just like going for it.
So is that the same layout that you have then in your other location in the Carolinas?
It's sort of the same layout. I mean, North Carolina is so cool. I love it. Charlotte is killing it right now. It's a great city to be in. I have a second home there with my family, so... but Charlotte it's mostly the same, except that they have a true private dining room, which we don't have in New York. Ours are like these movable partitions that, you know, accordion style, make the room bigger or smaller. I kind of wish I did that in Charlotte, to be honest, but I didn't, so we'll go on.
Right.
But it's more of a restaurant. I mean, people in Charlotte, they still dine appetizer, entree, dessert. So because that's what they want, that's what we are there. And in Charlotte, you can do on-premise and off-premise. So we're able to sell wine retail, and now we're expanding to the next door adjacent space to actually merchandise for retail. Mm. And so it's been great. I mean, there's so much amazing Southern food in our restaurant out there, and my chef, Alan Evans, is just killing it. And I just, like, want to go there so I can eat all of the, you know, stuff we don't get out here. We're not good, you know.
Right.
North Carolina trout, it's so good. But, yeah, Charlotte is just a great addition to our two restaurants here in New York.
What's the capacity of the one in Charlotte?
Like, Charlotte's 2,500 square feet. It probably seats about 95 people.
2,500 square feet.
And that's small for Charlotte.
Right. I get it. Oh, I get it.
Right? 700 in Chelsea Market for us square feet. And it's like a jewel box, but a box.
Yeah. Well, Maury Margo's 240.
I know.
Like, this is the more. You're in it.
That's great.
Man, it's a
good things come in small packages.
Ah, thank you.
That's true.
He's heard that before.
Yeah, well. thanks, Dave. And how long have you been open down there? How long have you been open here, actually? It's 5 years, right?
It just turned five in November.
Oh, right.
So November birthday. 2011.
Yeah, amazing.
Thank you. And then Charlotte's been 2 years in July. It will be 2 years next July.
Cool.
Next July. Okay, so it's 1.5
years. Actually, about
right
it, yeah.
Yeah. Crazy. So you were crushing along with the one here.
Crushing
like grapes. I get it. Yeah. Easy, Damon.
I was looking.
You're crushing.
Hanging fruit.
Oh. You're crushing along.
Sorry, Dave.
You just turned five, meaning you were four and change when you opened another one in another city. But also somewhere in there, you opened up Chelsea Market.
Yep.
How are you doing all this?
Now I sleep, but back then I didn't. So I'm pretty psyched that we're not opening anything this year. I don't know. I have great partners and I have a great team. I guess that's just the simple way to say it. I mean, I didn't obviously do everything myself, but
of course.
You work your butt off and you're pretty psyched most of the time about what you do. So, yeah, we were doing well in Union Square. We're kind of bored with one place. And then we were approached by Chelsea Market to do a small wine bar in the ground level across from Dixon's Butcher. And so we started working on that project. In the meantime, we had already signed a letter of intent with Charlotte because we didn't expect New York to have a second place so soon. Mm-hmm. And Chelsea Market is such a great opportunity. I mean, what a great collection of vendors and fellow, you know, butchers and fishmongers. I mean, it was my dream. Yep. And so I couldn't say no. I had to open two in 1 year. It's like having twins.
Wow. I don't even... Could you do that?
No, man. I'm working on some new projects, but they're not going to be like Irish twins.
No. Yeah. Irish twins. Back to back. 9 months.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You also have at least a fun personal piece of news to give us. Well, let's start back to the beginning. How was your Christmas, Laura?
My Christmas was so amazing.
Did you get anything you deserved?
I had a nice, shiny, brand new engagement ring, so that was exciting.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
And a great future husband.
Very cool.
Our Foley artist at large in there.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped. I love it. Love him. It's pretty great.
That's amazing. Is he in our biz?
He looks on and can't wait to fully jump in, but he's not in our business. He just loves wine and food and entertaining. He has a small investment in a friend's bar, but it's going well. It's a great place for what they do. But he's not in our business, so which is nice.
I was about to say, that's good.
Yeah. It's really good.
It's better to date outside the biz, I think.
It's
hard.
It's hard.
All you see are people who are in the biz. So
yeah, it's the like kind of the curse because it's like the best way to meet someone.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, you're like, ah, shit.
Yeah. Now we're both super busy.
We're
all
both on call.
Yeah.
All the time.
Right.
Yeah. That's great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm going to have some more of this wine.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Jordan Silbert, founder and CEO of Q Drinks. We're proud to support the speakeasy. At Q Drinks, we make spectacular carbonated mixers, crafted to mix with your favorite spirits. Based right here in Brooklyn, we're available nationally in 6 flavors, including Q Tonic Water for spectacular gin and tonics, and Q Ginger Beer for spectacular Moscow Mules. I started the company after a night in my backyard with good gin, really good friends, and lousy tonic water. I realized the world needed better mixers, so I made them. Q Drinks uses real ingredients, a lot less sugar, and a lot more carbonation. The result? Clean, crisp, spectacular beverages that bring out the best in your favorite spirits. Using Q Drinks, it's easy to create terrific drinks with just 2 pours. 1 to 2 ounces of your favorite spirit, and 3 to 4 ounces of Q poured over ice in a highball glass. It's simple and spectacular. Q Drinks. Make your drink spectacular.
So, should we talk about the other bottle of wine that you brought?
Sure. Actually, I would love that.
You know, okay, so I have to tell this story. I know I've told it before, but it's become advanced since 11 years ago when I moved here. When I first moved here, I was working in Hell's Kitchen at this bar right on 9th Avenue, and it had big windows on the front of the building, and the bar was right there. And so every time I'd have to, we did a lot of champagne.
Kevin St. James?
Nope.
Oh, I was like, I probably saw you there a few times.
I will not mention the name of this place.
Okay.
but
out of respect or embarrassment?
Maybe a little both. It's my first job in New York. Well, my first bar job. I was still doing graphic design then a little bit. But every time I'd pop a bottle of champagne, which was all the time, I'd go outside and I'd pop it with one hand, and then the cork would shoot up 4 stories, and then catch the cork as it came down in my other hand, and get a huge applause.
In your hat, right? You do it in your hat.
Now I do it outside of Grand Army. I catch it in my hat because I wear hats every day. And, well, that, but going back to Hell's Kitchen, I popped one and cork shot up in the air, 4 or 5 stories, came back down, caught it. Again, bar goes crazy. And then I hear like, hey, I look over, there's 2 cops standing there. And they're like, what in the fuck are you doing, man? Like, you can't do that. You can't do that. And I was like, oh, I'm really sorry. I just moved here from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Like, I don't...
Innocent card.
And yeah.
Look, like, how innocent I am.
Dude, you know, it's so much more illegal in Oklahoma to do that right. than it is here. But I was like, I'm really sorry, officers. I just moved here. I didn't realize, you know, play dumb. And they're like, well, you could have got this and this and this and this, you know, these fines. And they're like, but since you caught the cork...
We're going to let it go.
We're just going to let it go. So they're like, get in there and never do it again. Of course, I've done it for the last 10 plus years. But now I catch it in my hat.
you've changed the routine a little. You've added a prop.
I went rodeo with that shit.
Yeah. Keeping it fresh.
Is this how you open bottles at your bar?
Yeah, I catch them in my hat, too.
Do you saber ever?
Yeah, it's not my thing. I have to say, you know, I'm really... really into it. I like people to do it, but I can't do it myself because actually you'll appreciate this. So there, Greg Harrington, he was an old boss of ours before I ran beer, I guess he did. And he decided he was going to saber champagne. I think I was just like 25, 26. And he came in after a long weekend in the Hamptons in the summer with like a cast on his hand. And everybody's like, hey, what happened? And we're going at like all these Michael Skernick, big portfolio tastings. He's an MS. And they're like, what happened? And he's like, I savored a bottle of champagne. Like under his breath, you know? So I guess like bottle backfires, gets 40 stitches in his arm. And he's got to walk around like God knows for how long with that thing. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm not going to savor champagne. Because I'm klutzy, you know? Like I'm a doofus. Like I would literally like, well, one time I savored a bottle of champagne on a cruise. And the way that it opened was I dropped it on the floor and it broke. You know, you're supposed to hit the knife on the side of the seam and cork goes flying. It's all, ooh. Instead, like, I hit the knife, the bottle slips out of my hand, it breaks on the floor, and that's how it opens. And that was my one taste at savoring. So,
yeah,
no mas.
I've never done it, actually.
Oh, really?
I've never done it. Well, I mean, because
we had that ring that Dave made. Dave just soldered a ring with a flat piece on it that we would wear, so we would just sit with our hands.
That's fun.
It was cool.
Yeah.
Got a lot of attention, but I've done it dozens of times, but I still kind of feel like I'm maybe in your camp. I don't feel like it's kind of worth it.
To me, the classic way is,
you know?
Yeah, the classic way is a fucking explosive bottle
yeah.
and a knife,
yeah.
and you're typically drunk when you're
yeah.
doing it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, like...
it's never cold enough,
that
which is what it
up.
Has to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll leave it for the real professionals to do that. Okay. And in the meantime, I'm trying to open corks silently. That's my signature move.
You know, I didn't say it's it not. When you opened the cork earlier, because it's kind of sexist. But when I was in culinary school a million years ago, we had classes about, you know, service and things like that. And the French guy's name was Hervé Labivant. And he said, when you open champagne, it should not pop. It should sigh like a woman.
Ooh. That works.
Right. And when you did it, I was like, it reminded me of that instantly. Yeah. But I think it's a little sexist.
I don't mind it.
In this climate, maybe. I don't know. The climate's a little hot around here these days. So anyway, yeah. You did bring 2 bottles. I don't know if we're going to crack into it or not, but what do you got over there?
You know, I have to say because...
And why? Why did you choose these? You just said you love them, but like, is there... Today's a special day. You just got engaged. Soon to be Christmas. Soon to be New Year's. Like, what?
I was seeing you guys.
Yeah, that's most
2 bottles, 2 guys.
Pshaw.
Can't bring just one. You know, I was looking for magnums in my cellar, but we drank them all at Christmas, so there was that many left.
Good for you.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't apologize for that.
I think that I'm such a champagne fanatic, and I love it. And I try to push myself to like non-champagne sparkling wine. So I'm constantly checking in with other regions, and most of the time I'm like, nah, it's just not champagne. And it's true. I think there's a few handful of producers and different regions where you can like go toe-to-toe with champagne. And most of my guests, I'm sure you guys find this at the bar a lot, or, you know, in your time you have, if you had champagne, you hear, can I have a glass of Prosecco? Can I have a glass of Cava? And you're like, oh, I only have champagne or whatever you say. And they're like, no, I want Prosecco. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it per se, but I just don't like it. you know, it's not my thing. And I never really got into cava, but there's a great producer, Gramona. And we did this blind tasting not too long ago at Cork Buzz. She came in, she did this amazing seminar for the trade. And she had champagne. She had all these great champagne producers. And I wouldn't say it was better than champagne. I would just say it was hard to tell the difference. And so this one that I brought is 2010 as well. So two vintages from 2010. And it's just cool. It's just vintage cava from top producer, and it drinks like champagne. So you guys can taste it and tell me on a future show while I'm listening whether it was as good.
We'll pop it on New Year's.
Yeah.
All right.
So speaking of, like, do you... So, I mean, obviously you have a very refined palate. There's no doubt about that. But so when it comes to things like champagne versus, like, cava, which is also Method Champenois, or, like Cremant?
I love Cremant, though, I will say.
Yeah.
Cremant's, like, everyday stuff. I love certain producers and certain styles of Cremant. Cremant, Franciacorta, I'm really good with those. Most cava, most Prosecco, I could take it or leave it. I like some sparkling wines from, you know, the U.S. Like, I love Iron Horse. I think she does a great job, and what a great family. I like Macari in the North Fork. I think their sparkling wine is dope. I just drank that this weekend. I mean, listen, you can't generalize and say you don't like any cava or any Prosecco, but
sure.
Obviously they're not my top choice as a category.
Yeah, I'd say the same thing about escargot. I'm like, I have never had good escargot, but I'm not going to say I don't like it. I just haven't had it prepared well. Can you cook escargot for me?
Of course.
All right, change my mind on it.
I absolutely will. I'm going to make it for you. I got three different ways to make it for you in my mind right now.
Awesome.
One of them you will love, and the other two you will like.
Can I come over?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, maybe that's when we crack this bottle of Gravona.
Sounds great. Did you hear that, and bring the fiancé too, yeah? Did you hear that over the summer I took over a restaurant for 21 days and cooked?
No.
A tiny restaurant, 340 square feet, with the kitchen is just a six burner with a salamander and a small grill behind the bar.
Whoa.
So I was cooking this far from people, French food.
Where was this?
It's called Le French Diner, which loosely translates to The French Diner.
Le French.
Yeah, it's on Orchard at Houston.
Wow.
And it's awesome. You should go there.
I will definitely go there.
The story, which I've told on the air before, but the brief is those guys were going to close and go for vacation for 3 weeks. 3 weeks, 21 days. And I was terrified because I live on that street and I go there all the time. I was like, you'll close. You'll be gone. I need you. So I drunkenly told them I would do it, and they drunkenly gave me the keys.
Love it.
They were like, here we go. We'll see you in 21 days.
I love those takeover pop-ups.
Whose quote was that?
Oh, it's how I live my life, and it's true. I live by the Hemingway rule of always do sober what you promised while drunk.
Good rule.
That'll teach you to keep your mouth shut.
That'll teach you to keep your damn mouth shut. But yes, I will make escargot. We will drink bubbly together.
Sweet.
Let's back up 2 seconds, though, and clarify something for the listener. Not for me. I know the answer. I don't know the answer. Cremant. That's just... It's bubbly from France, but not inside the Champagne region, right?
Absolutely correct.
All right.
So you knew it.
Ding, ding. I probably learned that from you at Be Our Guest.
Or someone along your way. Well, Cremant can be from anywhere in France. So you have, like, all these different examples of Cremant d'Alsace starting in the Northeast. So you Alsace grapes, Cremant de Bourgogne from Burgundy, Burgundy grapes. So Cremant de Loire all the way through Bordeaux and Cremant de Die and in the Rhone Valley. So there's tons of options if you like a specific region in France. If you want to try sparkling wine and venture outside of Champagne, then you just find your favorite insert name of region and just buy a bottle of Cremant from there.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of like, it's, if you think about it, it's kind of like the mezcal tequila situation, you know? Like,
sure.
Exactly.
Cremant still comes from, like, France, but it's just not made in the Champagne region.
Dig it.
Just like all tequilas are mezcals, but not all mezcals are tequila.
So if I'm digging on some Alsatian cuisine, I probably want a Cremant from Alsace.
Yep.
What grows together goes together. I know I learned that from
you. You did. Cheesy Lines by Laura, part two.
Well, you know, it's those cheesy lines that stick with people, though. And it also, again, like, without dumbing anything down, it also just makes things a little bit more comfortable for people. And I think that's what you do the best.
I think you can build on it, too. So it's perfect. Like, you know, it's not that's the only way to pair food and wine, but it's great as a starting jumping off point and learning from there.
Yeah. What? So, go back to New Year's. What are your plans for New Year's?
Yeah, that was my next question too. What you doing?
I live in East Village.
Yay!
Maybe I'll come spot like bar hop a little. Be nice to see you guys.
Are you not going to be on staff at Cork?
No,
Buzz?
I am. Oh, okay. I am.
Yeah. All right, come by early then.
Yeah, we host a dinner party at Cork Buzz, and it's, you know, four chorus, pretty great food and wine, and then we're just going to do an open bar, but no mandate. We're not doing like you have to buy this XYZ ticket. So people can pop by anytime after 10 for champagne campaign, run tabs. So there's no minimum, there's no door, there's no fussy.
Is this how
anything.
You do it every year, or is this?
A couple of years ago, we did, you know, 17 or 15 champagnes at a Magnum for New Year's, and that was an all-inclusive. Last year, we did, you know, some all-inclusive with, I don't know, small bottles. No, I'm kidding. We did some kind of champagne theme. And then this year, we're just like, let's just open. Because, you know, I'm going to get out of work at 9 o'clock or 1 o'clock in the morning, and I just really want a glass of champagne. I don't want to buy a ticket. So we encourage people in the industry to come on by and just run a tab and drink what they pay, or pay for what they drink. And that's that.
I think that's great. Actually, it's cool that you say that because I have noticed that a lot of places this year and a few of them last year, but like kind of a remarkable number of them, of bars and restaurants have kind of moved into that vibe where it's like, it's not so much about the prefix or like, pairings, like that you're just like stuck to this one thing. It's like, it's also kind of the thing that bothers me about New Year's. You always have to have this like really like tight regimen, like scheduled, like itinerary that you have to stick to. And it's
a lot
really
of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure. It's like
it takes away the fun of the night.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's why I like Thanksgiving so much. It's like, we're just going to hang out and eat all day and drink all day and do whatever. And like, if you want to take a nap in between courses, like, right. Yeah, you do that, and you don't have to dress up. It's like,
yeah, no grand plan.
Yeah,
grand.
No, yeah. No grand plan. but that's really cool. Good for you.
It should be fun.
I think that's also a testament to like the casual environment of Cork Buzz anyway, man. That's what I've always noticed. You know, it's like it's meant to be fun. Like, I'm having fun right now, just drinking champagne with you guys.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah, I think you definitely embody that. You know, I think we all have that with our spaces. It's you, you're it. And that space definitely is very, like, it's put together and it looks nice, but it's also real friendly.
Thanks.
You know? I think that's what you are, too.
Thank you.
What are you doing for New Year's? Are you doing anything stupid?
I will. Yeah, I'm going to do stupid shit.
I mean, the bar. I mean, I know you're going to do stupid shit.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'll be at the bar. So we're going to be doing stupid shit.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing. We're not doing any kind of like plan prefix menu or seating. Like there's no like seating matrix that we have to like abide by. It's open. It's meant to be like a fun thing. So we're going to do something I've always done every year for New Year's, wherever I am. It's like Prime Meats Forever and, you know, Grand Army now, but, I always just do like a short champagne cocktail menu.
Yeah.
You know.
But you love that anyway. That's kind of always on your menu. make any cocktail on Grand Army a royal by adding champagne.
Yeah. Actually,
what's your favorite champagne cocktail at the moment? I know you probably have a bunch, but I need to make some at home.
I just did one. It's really boozy. I just did one for Tasting Table called the Storm, it's called Don't Krampus My Style. It's like scotch and chartreuse and cinnamon and bitters and champagne. It's really, really boozy, but it doesn't really taste like it.
Good.
I think one of my go-tos, I mean, the Silbach is always a go-to.
Even with its recent controversy?
Yeah.
It's still delicious.
It's still delicious.
It's a champagne old-fashioned.
Yeah.
How could I not like that?
Exactly. The Alfonso, you know that one?
No.
Alfonso, it's basically, it's just a classic champagne cocktail with like an ounce of Dubonnet Rouge.
Oh. Mm.
So what's cool about that is you can swap out any kind of like vermouth or, I mean, at that point you can kind of
sherry. Kind of just, you can do whatever you want.
You could do sherry. You could do Amaro. I mean, like any kind of light Amaro. So like Amerpicón in Alfonso instead of like Dubonnet. It's like, it's real good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and... Yeah, I mean, we could go on and on, like the Pimm's Royale, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, yeah, it's it. The cool thing about it is, like, and Dave Wondrich, I talk about this all the time, I know, but Dave Wondrich said in Imbibe that, like, I've, like, when he's describing all these old cocktails, he's like, most of them, he was like, and it's not bad with a little champagne on top. And yeah.
I think that's just his jam.
So,
like almost every cocktail in that book, he goes, and also some champagne on top.
I love it.
Like any cocktail, that's why at his bar, any cocktail you can add champagne to, make it a royal.
Yeah.
So cool.
Even the cocktails that already have champagne, you can
you
add
just
more.
Add extra.
Add more. Floater. Royal.
It's on the menu. Make it a royal.
I love it.
Two extra dollars. And
that's well worth the price of entry.
Yeah.
I am doing something stupid over at Amore.
Yeah.
We're open to the public until, I think, 8:30. And then we have a seating of 12 where we're going to do four courses with an open bar that'll get them out of there in time to go somewhere for New Year's. And then we got another seating of 12 people with an open bar till 4 in the morning.
That's so cool.
It's fun. We did it last year, too, which is good because... opposite of what you guys are saying at Amore Margo, New Year's Eve was a tank every year, like a tank, a brick. I don't have champagne. And also for these things, I do.
Yeah.
Also, I'll be serving my 2 year sour. I'm going to bring some of that next week as well. We won't drink it all.
Oh,
I made a sour 2 years ago that I've been aging, meaning I just left it sitting. yeah.
Right on.
Anyway, there's still some seats left if anybody's interested.
Cool.
But we typically sell out.
Nice. Great, man. Well,
good show. Let's wrap up by asking you a few extra questions. Where's your bar? Do you have a website? Do you want to talk about it on the air real fast? All that kind of junk.
Sure. Cork Buzz is 13 East 13th Street, so two-time lucky 13. And
nice.
Cork Buzz Chelsea Market can be found smack in the middle across from Dixon's and Hale and Hearty Soup. We have Cork Buzz in Charlotte, North Carolina, in a place called South Park. Really cool. Right behind the only Whole Foods in Charlotte. And our website is corkbuzz.com. And I am Laura Manick at corkbuzz. Or that's my email, but that's actually not even my email. It's Laura at corkbuzz. But my Instagram's at Laura Manick.
At Laura Manick, yeah.
Cool. Well, awesome. This has been awesome. Thanks for bringing in the champagne.
Yeah, so delicious.
We don't really get to sip on a lot of champagne on the show.
We don't. This is only the second time since I've been on.
Yeah, man, we should just keep one in the fridge over there. There's this guy
that... The little fridge in the corner?
I was working at this Spirits Linnell's LTD in Red Hook 10 years ago, whatever. But this guy came in, his name's Ben. He...
Oh, yeah, you've said this before. I'm ready. Lay it on me.
Yeah, he was buying a bottle of champagne, and I was like, dude, cool, what are you celebrating? He was like, oh, no, I'm just restocking. He's like, I celebrated last night. He's like, I always keep a bottle of champagne ready in my fridge.
At the ready.
Just in case. And I love that. And it changed my whole mentality on it. So I always have champagne at home.
Red. That's brilliant.
We should start doing that here in the studio.
I think we just came up with something new.
Cool.
Before we step away, just to mention, next week's guest is finally going to be Corey Bonifiglio. He had to cancel for personal reasons last time around, but he is a beer nerd extraordinaire from Beer Street in Brooklyn. And probably, in my opinion... one of the greater, like, hospitalitarian, I hate that word, guys that I know. He embodies hospitality. I don't know if you know him, Laura. He's amazing.
Yeah, he's great.
And then before we totally go away, I just want to mention that I held up my end of the bargain. I see you brought nothing, but I brought eggnog that I told you I would make last week. So as we get off the air here, we'll drink some eggnog to wash down this champagne. Probably should have went the other way.
Yeah, probably should.
But it doesn't matter. And I made it. It's in the same bottle. I made it with plantation pineapple rum.
That's awesome.
I was making it at Amore while I was making General So's chicken, and the bar was busy, and I was just going to pop behind the bar and grab a bottle of bourbon. The bar was busy, and Max was busy, so I said, you know what? I'm just going to go into Mother of Pearl. They're not even open. Like I'm a thief in the night. And I cruise in there looking for bourbon, and I see this pineapple rum, and I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Like eggnog with pineapple rum? It's kind of like pineapple eggnog colada.
That's awesome.
And I made it with tiki bitters because, you know, I can't help myself.
Yeah. Nice. Well, let's have some.
Yeah.
Also, I just want to say thank you to the listeners of all the Heritage Radio programs. It's been a great year. Get to have our 200th episode this year. Get to bring on Souther Teague as my co-host.
Thanks, buddy.
It's been really a great year for my bar, personally. We actually just got a really great piece of news.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. I can't believe we almost didn't mention it.
Yeah. Imbibe Magazine, named Grand Army Cocktail Bar of the Year.
Imbibe Magazine. Ooh. Crushing it.
So, thank you. Thank you. But I just want to say thank you to everyone who's come by to support that as well. And it's a huge honor, and I can't even believe it. Yeah, man. I'm looking forward to the next year, right?
Yeah, man. Well, now you got a target on your back.
Well, I know. It's what really sucks.
I mean, now you're not the... Someone's gunning to be the best now.
Everyone's getting hair in their drinks.
It's probably me.
All of a sudden. yeah, so thank you for that.
Happy New Year.
Awesome. Happy New Year, team. Let's...
Happy holidays. Happy New Year. And just want to say thank you from Souther and I. We've had, a great year at Heritage Radio Network, and we really appreciate your support. There's still time left in the year to go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the Beating Heart to donate so we can continue bringing you programming like this and all the others. Right?
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
Click on that Beating Heart and support.
All right. So from us at Heritage Radio and Speakeasy, thanks again. Happy New Year's. Be safe. And until next year, cheers.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, guys.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that sin. It's gonna get you some.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.